Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Hammy, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and T. Quillen, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 212 of...
The Inexplicable Dumb Show.
I'm T. Quillen.
I'm John Malden.
And it's going to be a wrap-up, I guess, of what we did last week, right?
Sure.
Would you call it that? I'm looking at the website. It says, Laughter on the 23rd Floor in Samla. So we can just call this one Update or something. You come up with a clever title. You're always really good at that.
Okay.
So, and that's what we're doing this week, actually, is we're going to update on that stuff.
Cool. And we're going to talk about my audition. So we're going to audition.
Yeah, so that's the new thing. That's the new thing. Chapman's yeah. Barn. Yeah, good call. All right, yeah. Let's get into it.
All right.
Want to stay current with the Inexplicable Dumb Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free.
Click the subscribe button at inexplicabledumbshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode.
Hey, Putz, get off your fat tookus and do something. I'm tired of yous laying around complaining about this and that. Forget about it. It's all you say. You bum.
Shut up already, Frank. Oh, God, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I'm sorry. He gets wound up around the first of the month. You know, when you're supposed to pay the rent.
Now, give Frank a big tip. Hear about auditions, booking gigs, and other theater work around the South. Next.
Okay, how'd your audition go?
Well, first, let's say it was for Chaffin's Barn Dinner Theater.
Wow.
And yeah. It's for their season, and they're doing quite a lot, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I'll do all the links and everything, but they'll be doing I'll Be Seeing You, Till Death Do Us Part, The Foreigner, The Rainmaker, Everybody Loves Opal, Annie.
Wow.
Writer's Block, which is a mystery by John Chaffin, so I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know anything about that. And Southern Fried Funeral.
That's quite an eclectic...
Another original by Dietz Osborne and Nate Epler, so...
Cool.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Well. It went well. I used my monologue from SETC about the guy from the future, and walked in and did it. Ben Dawson is currently in a show there. I'll give him a plug.
Oh, cool.
Well,
speaking of Ben Dawson, I got an email from him. Let's see. A couple days ago, I guess. And he basically said, hey, be on the lookout for some emails from some schools asking for letters of recommendation. And the first one that I got was from the Yale School of Drama.
Yeah, I got one too.
So awesome.
So, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. Way to go out there.
Yeah, he's always been a go-getter when it comes to going and getting work, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good for him. Well, but other than that, how did your audition go?
My audition, it was very, you know, like anything else. I mean, it's you go in, you do it, you go home. I mean,
right? No, kind of. But you didn't get. I mean, how did you feel about it? I guess is.
I don't know. I mean, I thought it went well. I've got laughs in places where there should be laughs, and you know, it's one that either people really react and laughs, you know, kind of a full laugh,
right?
Or they just kind of stare at you. You know,
yeah,
it's
right.
One of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a couple full laughs, so I feel pretty good about that.
Cool.
Squabbles is the name of the show that Ben is in.
Squabbles, okay.
Squabbles. And it runs through, if I can pull this up here real quick. It runs, well, interesting picture for the season, sorry. Squabbles. It's a guy looking into a glass ball. Okay, didn't give me dates. I think it runs through November 13th, I think is the sign that I saw today.
Okay, cool.
So it runs through the end of next week, I guess.
Cool.
So if you're in the Nashville area, go see Squabbles. starring Ben Dawson.
Cool.
It's a lot of people, but we know Ben. Right. So Ben.
Ben is the star.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. When do you think you'll know? I mean, they probably didn't say I know, but when do you?
They said they let people know about callbacks by email. But they didn't really, specify. So, the show that's in March, I don't know if they're going to have callbacks in the next week or wait, until February to have callbacks. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it may be a long wait. Who knows?
Well, I hope not. I mean, I hope not.
I hope not too.
I hope it's not, but, well, cool. Congratulations. I'll just say, on it going well.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of weird. It sort of, I wouldn't say it's the best I've ever done it, but that monologue, but I don't know. I got responses. So
yeah, that's become a Nashville institution, I think, hasn't it? I mean,
they've been around forever. 20 something years at least. Yeah.
My first professional theater gig.
You got it there?
Yep.
So you're a Chaffin's alumni?
I am a Chaffin's alumni.
What was that? South Pacific?
South Pacific, yep.
Yeah, wow. Yep,
sure was.
I don't think the barn's changed much since you've been there.
Probably not. I would imagine not. But that was years ago, so.
Right. Still classy.
It is a great place. I mean, it really is.
I realize that sort of sounded like I was making fun of it. I'm not making fun of it.
It really is a cool place. I mean, I love the layout. Do they still have the stage on hydraulics that lowers from the ceiling and all of that kind of stuff? They still have that. That's cool. Yeah. That's a great effect. You know.
Yeah.
It really is.
So how did you you had your thing, right?
Yeah, I had my thing. Before I plug Samla and tell you how it went, Laughter on the 23rd Floor just closed on a matinee this afternoon as we record this, as on our last minute weekly recording here. Mm-hmm. It just closed, and from what I understand, every single night played to record houses for Missouri Western. So we were breaking box office records with every single performance. We had three quarters of the house full on opening night. And then I think it's a theater that seats 430. And I think the lowest number of seats that they had, if memory serves me correctly, was 170. That was the lowest number. So always good crowds. It's a very active play. It was really good. Dallas did a great job directing it. Amidst all kinds of trials and tribulations of just, stepping into this whole new situation and then being asked to direct a show all at the same time. He did a really good job. So kudos to him and the entire cast of Laughter on the 23rd Floor. And I know he's going to be sad to see it go on one hand, and I know he's also going to be what he's going to do. And this is my prediction. Dallas is going to get horribly sick now because he's... he's going to settle down. He's going to have that post-show funk. And then all of a sudden, his body's going to go, okay, we're done.
Right.
We're no longer defending your immunity here. So just.
Yeah, here it is. Deal with it.
Here it is. That's right. This is all the stuff that you've been having us fight off. So I'm sure that's probably what's going to happen. But he's come by it honest. So great show. I know the kids are excited about it. And it created a great buzz for the rebirth or whatever you want to call it of the theater department. So he upped the ante, he placed the bar pretty high, A game, huh? Yeah. Well, see, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he had Einstein's giveaway free bagels in intermission. I think that's what it had to do with it. And so now I've got to find something. I mean, I can't give away truffles, for Phantom. Cause I mean, I can't give away bagels. Cause that's not, I guess I could, but that's going to be, I could give away a car
for you.
I could give away a car at intermission.
Or a boat.
That's, I've got experience doing that. So
chandeliers.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Or candles. Maybe that's it. candles and flowers of some kind, candles and roses, or I don't know. I'll come up with something. But anyway, yeah, he's up the ante. Yeah, he's the people are going to start going, okay, well, yeah, I know we're going to come to see your show. What are you giving away for free?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm bringing mm-hmm. that. Anyway, yeah, what a whirlwind weekend I had. so my flight left at 7 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. The chair of the department drives me down to the airport at 4:45 in the morning. And we decided
Whoa, you can't get the wife to take you down there? What's up with that?
No, well, it's the kids involved. And I'm not, I told her, I said, look, no, I'm not, you can pick me up in the airport. I'm not going to make the kids climb out of bed, be cranky, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know,
why don't you long-term park?
Well, I was going to. But we were sitting in opening night of Laughter on the 23rd floor, and I mentioned, you know, she's really excited about the fact that I'm going and everything. And she goes, well, how are you getting to the airport? And I said, I'm just driving. And she went, no. I'm not doing anything tomorrow. I'll take you. And I went, well, you don't have to. That's like 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, I'm not going to ask you to do that. I'm not asking anybody to get up at that hour, you know, for a flight. She goes, no, it's not that big of a deal. I do it all the time. It's not a problem. So when are you going to pick you up? And it really was one of those cases of you will not take no for an answer, or, you know. And so anyway, so it was very, very, very kind of her to take me down there to drop me off at the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning. And so anyway, that's where my day started. I get to Atlanta, picked up by a buddy of mine. He takes me around Atlanta. We have lunch. I get to the hotel, and pretty much I go, you know, for like an hour or two, which is basically the only sleep I got. I probably shouldn't have, because I didn't sleep at all throughout the night. Don't know why. I wasn't really necessarily nervous. Harry Potter, Becca is saying. I watched Harry Potter in the hotel room because it was either that or some really bad, I don't remember what it was now. There were only like four channels in the hotel too, so it was one of those types of places.
You paid by the hour?
I paid by the hour, yeah. I paid by the hour. Good rate, though.
Yeah.
So,
different kind of bed bug.
That's it. It was very much a different kind of bed bug. So anyway, I got there, got up the next morning, and I was going to take a cab from my hotel to the convention hotel. And I got downstairs, and keep in mind, I'm already checking out of the hotel, right? So I've got my bag, I've got my laptop bag, I've got my coat, you know, and all this other kind of stuff. And so I walked outside, and I go to the cab driver, and I say, how much is the fare over to the Lowe's Atlanta? And he went, well, it's $8, but you can walk it. It's just right there. And I'm like, okay, well, if the cab driver's telling me I can walk it, for sure I can do this, right? Well, the sun hasn't come up yet.
Okay.
So I'm out pre-dawn walking through downtown Atlanta by myself with a laptop bag and my suitcase in a suit in pitch black downtown Atlanta. You know, and it's cold. So I've had better ideas than that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I get to Lowe's. I get in there. I check in. Get my little name badge thingy. And I'm basically only at the convention for all of 2 hours. I go in, find the room where we're going to be presenting. I go in and sit down. And, of course, I'm 45 minutes early because I was worried about being late and all this other kind of stuff.
Right.
So I'm 45 minutes early. I'm sitting there, going through my presentation and, you know, looking over my notes last minute and everything. And then slowly but surely the panelists start to show up. Well, I wasn't prepared for this. They just, and this is my lack of experience in this whole academic presentation type thing. They sat at the table and read their papers.
Oh.
Verbatim. I mean, from the just sitting there at the table. You know how we do the panelist thing that we do at SATC? Uh-huh. It's the same kind of setup. We're just sitting there, and they just, here it is. I'm going to read it. And they read it, all 10 pages each.
Oh.
And I'm third. And I've only had one cup of coffee.
Oh, wow.
How'd
you get your order established?
Well, I mean, we went alphabetically.
Ah.
We went alphabetically. So that's how I wound up being third. I asked Herb. It was Herb Parker from East Tennessee State who was chairing the panel. Mm-hmm. And well, before we started, I said, "Well, now," I said, "I'm still kind of unclear. Are we reading the papers or are we presenting?" Because I said, "I've got both here. I can read or I can present." I said, "I'm kind of prepared to present." And he went, "You can do whatever you want to do." He said, "There's no right way or wrong way to do this. You do what you want to do." And I thought, okay, well, I'll just make up my mind at the last second because I don't know how. I want to see how theirs goes, you mm-hmm. know, because I got two people in front of me. I'm not going first, so I've got an opportunity here to see how this goes.
Right.
I decided I'm just going to do my presentation. So I was I was the only one on the panel that did not read my paper.
All right.
But I think it was, this is just me, maybe this is me lying to myself, but I think it was more engaging. I seemed to get more of a response from mine than the others did from theirs. Not because theirs were less interesting, because they were fantastic. The first young lady presented hers on Hamlet and the different film interpretations or film adaptations of Hamlet. The next guy did non-traditional film adaptations of various Shakespeare films, and he took one that was done a Japanese adaptation that was not Kurosawa. He took I had no idea. I wrote them down. I wrote the titles down of these films because they sounded very interesting, especially the one that was a Bollywood adaptation of Othello. which
do they dance? Do they do the Bollywood dance?
There is apparently a Bollywood number because it's a modern adaptation. Was it Othello? I'm pretty sure it was Othello. I may be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure it was Othello. Anyway, but apparently in this film, there is a Bollywood dance number because the actor playing lead or the lead character is an actor in Bollywood movies. And it sounds like a very fascinating adaptation, and I'm interested to see. I really want to see it just because I want to see how it translated. But anyway, his paper was fascinating because he was talking about all the different, you know, is it Shakespeare, is it not type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there goes mine. You know, and Herb's was just about just the differences between, well, I talked about it last week and you can listen to last week's episode to talk about the paper or to hear me talk about the paper. But, Herb's was basically about the similarities between adapting and editing for theater versus adapting and editing for film. It's basically the same thing. You know, you still have to edit and adapt for the same reasons. Which was an interesting paper too. His thoughts were interesting. But what the best part of the panel was the conversations that were brought up, because we had, I don't know, 10 or 20 minutes. No, it was about 20 minutes after we all got done presenting. And it was basically Herb goes, well, we've got time for discussion. So do you guys have any questions or anything like that? And there were a lot of them. Not that I'm all that surprised. I mean, people were out there taking notes and stuff. So one of the questions was really interesting that was asked. And keep in mind, this is an academic setting.
Right.
We're talking about Shakespeare. And so, and basically on the panel, Herb and I represent the acting/directing performance aspect of Shakespeare. And the other two on the panel represent more of an academic literature based view of Shakespeare, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this one guy in the audience asks the question, well, how do you, when you're editing a film, I wish there would be, how did he word it? He said, I wish some film adaptations would leave a little bit more of the ambiguity in the texts so that when my students watch it, they don't automatically assume that one interpretation is the interpretation. And I was the one that popped up and went, well, hold on a second. I said, I understand where you're coming from, because that's just the mindset that I think, I mean, I have the same experience with my students. I have the same thing. You know, they see one thing and they think that's it. But I said, on the other hand, though, for a film and even, well, for any theater adaptation, that's the actor and director's job, is to make a specific interpretation of each individual line and present it to the audience. I said, if it were presented with that ambiguity, you would leave with a very, it would be like eating a cracker. You know, there's no flavor to it. You know that you've eaten something, you know, but you're just like, well, and I think it was a little salty, but that was about it. You know, it kind of floored me a little bit because I was like, yeah, no, that you can't do that if you expect a film to make money.
Right, if you want to make it
right,
interesting.
Yeah, if you want audiences to go, yeah, this was the best Shakespeare adaptation ever. No, that's not going to happen. Now, it doesn't solve his problem, you know, but at the same time, my thought was...
It just means he's got to show more film.
Right, or open more discussion, one of the two.
But I mean, he's got to say, okay, well, this is how these people say this is how it is. Now, this is, you know, example two. Now, this is this version of the film.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because your point is really, is accurate. Yeah, I mean, that's people's job to make it interesting.
Right, and I was trying to think of, I mean, in the course of answering this question, I was trying to think of what that would be like. I mean, if you were to go, what would you think it would be like if you were to go and see a play that had absolutely zero interpretation on anything? I can't imagine that. I just can't. Well,
that would almost make it kind of an absurdist piece in a way, well, you know, where that language doesn't become important or is not important.
Right. But then again, at the same time, it's Shakespeare. So it's the most important. You know, the language was there for a very specific reason. So remains there for a very specific reason. That's not true of just Shakespeare, but we just happen to be talking about Shakespeare. But there were some other interesting topics that came up too about, okay, well, when does an adaptation stop? When does an adaptation become when does a film become more of its own separate work based on the works of Shakespeare versus being an adaptation of a Shakespearean film or a Shakespeare play into film? And I brought up the differences between, like, you know, the Kenneth Branagh Othello versus the more recent film. Oh, what was it? Oh, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Who was in that? Can't remember now.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. But anyway, it was kind of an upbeat high school version of that same thing,
mm-hmm.
right? Modernized, quasi teenagerized, if that's a word. It's not, but you can write it down because I came up with it. Write that down for tonight.
You've been to SAMLA, so you can make things up,
I guess. That's right, I can. I can do that. I have been to SAMLA. I'm an official member now, by the way. I had to pay the dues and all that stuff.
Card-carrying member?
Well, I haven't got the card in the mail yet, but I am a card-carrying member now of SAMLA.
Nice.
So anyway, we got done, wrapped up. It went well. Left straight from the hotel, went to the airport, waited around at the airport, only to find out at the last second that they changed my gate. Had to sprint down one of the terminals of the Atlanta airport to make sure that I didn't miss my flight.
Nice.
I almost went to Miami, by the way. Just came really close to going to Miami, which I've heard is nice this time of year. But
it's the time of year to go.
That's what I've heard.
I'd wait till January or so.
Yeah,
when it's really
I can get to the airport at that time here.
You know, you're always like a half cup full kind of guy, aren't you?
I am. Well, yeah, it's like every single conversation we've had with anybody over the last 3 months has been, yeah, your first Missouri winner, huh? Okay. And I'm like, what the hell is it? Is it like the Arctic Circle here? I mean, is it?
Yeah, dude.
It's going to be, well, comparatively, it's going to be, you know, for us. But
well, the thing that I remember growing up in Illinois, and we were where I was in Illinois is basically going to be kind of, you know, the same longitude that you were at, right?
Mm-hmm. Latitude, I think, isn't it?
No, longitude is.
No, that's right. I always remember it. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it was not uncommon to like go to bed and wake up in the morning and there's a foot and a half snow.
Well,
seriously. Joking aside, I mean, that will happen.
Well, yeah,
but the people there, I mean, most everybody knows how to deal with it, so it's not that bad.
Right, and that's the thing that we keep saying too is we're not prepared. We lived in Tennessee for crying out loud. We didn't have any, you know, we didn't have that big of winter coats, we were up until about a month ago, we were really unprepared. Right, I mean, for anything like that,
mm-hmm.
didn't even have a snow shovel, nothing.
So we've taken care of that in the meantime, but it was kind of hard for us to judge what to get because we're like, okay, do we need a generator? Do we need to actually get a snowblower? Do we need to actually get, you know, army of people to come out and, you know, do we need to hire help?
Shoveling snow because you want to do it the old school way sucks. Let me just tell you that.
Okay? Well, yeah, it does. That's what I've been told. But we just couldn't justify shelling out the money for a snowblower. I mean, A, we didn't have it. And B, we couldn't justify it. You know, so because here's a snow shovel was what, $20-$30, you know, maybe if that much, maybe not even that much. Or snowblowers like, you know, $200-$250 or something like that for a cheap one.
Yeah, so what I'm saying.
I know we're gonna get through this first winter. I'm gonna go. Yeah, well, guess what? The first thing we bought this spring was. I just know that's gonna happen, but But anyway,
made blankets and some water and some food in the car.
That's
a little package thing.
Yeah, that we've done. We put like trail mix and what was the other thing? We put trail mix and beef jerky in the car. Not ramen noodles. We didn't put ramen noodles in the car.
Maybe you should.
Yeah. My wife, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
Stick them on the engine block.
Well, if the car's broken down, that's probably going to be a little problem.
Well, you got to act fast.
Well, you'd have to, I guess. We did get some of those little Sterno, canned heat things, you know, that you basically pop the top off and light, and it, you know, you can cook on it. It's a really hot flame. So we got a couple of those, but we found several, here's what you need to keep in your car lists. And we kind of compared a bunch of them and said, okay, well, here's the stuff that's on all of these. I mean, we found like 10 or 15 of these different lists online. And so we just went through and compiled them all and went, okay, well, here's all the stuff that's on all of them. So we'll get that, you know? And so we do have that. I've got to get some more sand for the back of my truck. Cause I've got to weight the back of my truck down more than it is. Yeah. And just to have the sand handy in case we do get stuck. But other than that, we're golden. We're good to go. How did we get off on that anyway? I don't remember now. something going about to moving Miami. To Missouri. That was it. Moving to yeah. So anyway, I made it home. Was exhausted. I mean, because it just felt like a nonstop. Either I'm at the airport or I'm moving or on the way to or from or presenting kind of thing. And I was wiped out last night. And then Bama lost, which really wiped me out.
Yeah.
And I almost had to cancel again today because the Chiefs lost tonight by a field goal to the Raiders. So not a good football weekend for me.
The Raiders.
Not a good football weekend. How'd your dogs do? Was it bye week for them?
Might as well have been.
You did hear that? Nice.
No, they played Idaho State and beat them 55-7.
Ah, okay, good. good. And what's up next week for Georgia?
Auburn.
Oh, okay. All right. That's going to be a tough call because now that we've lost to LSU, basically Auburn has to beat Georgia in order to stay on top of the SEC West, I think, right? If Auburn falls to Georgia, then the SEC West goes up between LSU and Auburn. We're out of it now. Bama's out of it.
I don't think Auburn will have a problem beating Georgia.
I don't think so either. I mean, I really don't think so. I don't think Auburn's
the whole year, Georgia has actually played the run fairly well. But you want to throw the ball, no problem.
Right, and see, that's the thing. I don't think Auburn's going to have a hard time playing Bama this year either. I really don't. I just don't, and I hope I'm wrong because it'll make a really interesting season.
Well, it depends on whether that Cam Newton's going to be around. I think he was cleared, though. But
well, I thought the investigation was still going on, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I thought he was cleared. I thought that's what they said, but I could be wrong.
Well, I think his mom said he was cleared.
Oh, well, that makes all the difference.
I don't know what the NCAA says.
He's got a note from his mother.
Maybe if NCAA goes, well, his mom said.
Well, I know.
You know, I don't know.
Wait, we got...
But his mom says we're cleared.
We'll just have some Georgia kid get arrested again, so that'll
even it out.
Yeah. Well, that'll distract from, you know, so the mom note will go through. Because Georgia had like 11 players arrested this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You're getting up there with Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost. Yeah. And it's just stupid. I mean, it's stupid stuff, you know? I mean, it's nothing like.
Wasn't one of the guys
shooting anybody or anything like that. It's, you know.
Yeah. Because if you're going to do it right.
I mean, it's like, you know, they drunk driving. Not drunk driving. I think underage drinking.
Right? Oh, wow. Yeah.
Not necessarily driving, but underage drinking.
Right. Was it Georgia where the guy was, he basically had to show up for a court date and missed it.
Yeah.
And then turned himself in, had to get arrested, but then he paid the thing and walked right out, but he still has an arrest on his
record. It is Georgia, but here's the thing. So the, Caleb King was his name, is his name.
Okay.
Had a court date, missed it. His brother or something got into an accident with no license. So they had to call Caleb down. And when Caleb showed up at the scene, they took his license, ran it, and arrested him. And there you go.
Jeez. So he didn't show up then to clear the thing.
Not as I understand the story.
Wow.
He showed up to help his brother clear something up. And then he got busted.
And then got busted. Wow. Yeah. Jeez.
And then they had one guy that got arrested for drunk driving, I think, or underage drinking. I can't remember. But anyway, he got kicked off the team.
Jeez. Wow.
But it's, I mean, you know, it's...
It's hard to build a program when you keep kicking people off the team.
All right. Georgia is the party school, apparently. I mean, it's now nationally ranked the number one party school.
Nice.
Yeah. And, you know, you go to, and this is where we get the message mixed up, I think. You go to the actual UGA website, or at least I did a couple months ago, and one of the poll questions on, the website for the University of Georgia is, what is your favorite Athens band? And it lists, you know, like REM and B-52s and, you know, on and on and down the list. Because you'll be hearing a lot of live music at the bars in Athens, apparently. So,
well, you will.
That's on the front page of the Welcome to Georgia. Come on down.
Have a drink.
And REM was leading in that poll, by the way.
Was?
They still got it. Yep.
Nice. Okay.
Good.
Good.
Yeah, but it's just like, really?
Wow.
Really?
Wow. And,
I missed out. I went to the wrong school.
Yeah, well, I guess both of us did, apparently. Well, so what else do we have? We've updated on SAML. We've updated on the auditions. We've updated on Laughter on the 23rd Floor. I think we're caught up now, are we?
Yep. There's nothing else but looking forward.
Sweet. And what are we looking forward to?
I don't know.
The future. The future. Always looking forward to the surprises that the next few weeks will bring.
That it definitely will.
For everyone involved.
Hopefully.
All right, you want to wrap it up?
Let's do it.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show like I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
So once again, we'd like to thank ourselves.
Yes. I'd like to thank both of us, actually.
Okay.
And
I'd like to thank
you first, though. I'd like to thank you more so than myself.
Oh, good. That's the way it should be.
Well.
I'd like to thank Delta for almost sending you to Miami.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't Delta's fault, though.
Oh.
Not entirely.
Right. Sweet.
You know, they didn't make any kind of major announcement about the thing moving, but, you know, still, you know, the gates being switched, but I'm not bitter about that.
Yeah. That's great. But you need to thank probably Herb?
Herb Parker.
Thank him for setting you up at this
thing. Yeah. Yeah. At East Tennessee State University, Herb Parker, he was gracious enough to ask me to to participate in it, and hopefully he doesn't regret it.
Well, it's too late now.
Yeah, it is. It's a little late now, but but I think it was very nice of him to call and or email, I guess I should say, and ask. It's certainly going to help with the old tenure and promotion file. So
you're published, right? Is this going to go to
it will be, from what I understand. I'm assuming it's going to be in the. I think they publish a quarterly journal, from what I understand, and it will be published in that. So. I'll keep you posted on that whenever I find out that it's out. I'm sure we'll talk about it, but
I'll have to be Sam Lyons to purchase this.
I don't know. I'm new at this whole thing. I don't know.
Maybe, don't you ask questions?
Well, I do, but not those.
Oh,
My questions are a lot more general.
Where am I?
How are you doing today?
Who are you again?
Why am I here?
Are those my pants?
Yes.
I shouldn't put that on my head?
That's a statement.
Well, that's kind of a question.
Well, if you inflect it right, I guess it is, yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, you just sample a person. I don't know about inflection.
Well, apparently not. We're going for ambiguity here, so...
Oh, okay.
So, anyway,
that's right.
And on that note... Apparently, Toby is eating something he's not supposed to.
Oh, and Toby comes in at the
Toby,
end.
It's more of Becca trying to stick a finger down his throat to get whatever it is he's eating. Sorry. I wish you could see this. I'm going to try to describe it. I'm watching a standoff between my wife and my dog. And she's trying to get him to spit some kind of a toy out of his mouth. And she's actually trying the, I can wait here all night technique.
Wow. She's talking down to him in mom talk. Right?
She is talking down to him in mom talk. He's getting a little snippy. He's growling at her. Well, I mean,
well, would you want to?
Would you want to have somebody shove their fingers down your throat? That's what John's asking right now. Oh boy, he did. He's not happy. It was a Barbie purse, just for those of you who are keeping track at home. All right. Well, on that note,
you tried to kill your dog with a Barbie purse, yes. Just for ratings.
Yes. For ratings purposes, we did try to kill our dog with a Barbie purse.
Nice.
Yep. So, that's good. All right.
Only kidding, PETA.
Yes. Emails can be sent, too. On that note...
Lang.com.
I guess on that note, we'll wrap it up. Hey, we'll see you.
Bye.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.